We're holding on Zion Amar Aleph, the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Koinam Peres Ha'elu Alai. Suppose a person says that Koinam, a Lashon of a Neder, these fruit on me, meaning the fruit is also to him, as we've been learning throughout the Masechta, the fruit is also to him by a Neder as if it was a curtain. Or Koinam Hein Alpi, who he says they should be a Koinam for my mouth, or Koinam Hein Lifi, or a Koinam also for my mouth. All of those are a Lashon that he's making the Peres also to him. The point being, since he's making the Peres also to him, in effect, he makes them like Hekdesh. We learned actually earlier in the Masechta that even we talk about the possibility of Me'ilah applying to such kinds of Koinamos. So in any case, therefore, it has the din of Hekdesh as far as also b'chilufehen or g'dulehen, that he's also to have hana from anything that grow, from anything that's exchanged from them, meaning that if he sells them, then if he sells them and for money or exchanges them for other fruit, then that other fruit is also going to be also to him, the same way as it would be with Hekdesh, where the same way as it would be with Hekdesh. Over Gidulehem and things that grow from them, meaning if he plants them, then he wouldn't be able to have Hana from what grows from them. On the other hand, and the Ran points out, which we've learned before, that it would be one thing if he said that that this kind of fruit is also to me. For example, if he were to say that figs or what have you are also to him, he hasn't asked any particular figs. So then you would say that you can't include the chilufim and the gedulim, because after all, what he's eating is not figs, or it's and in the case of chilufim, it's not, because he traded it for something else. And in the case of gedulim, we're talking about, let's say, what grows from them is other parts of the plant that are not figs themselves. But here, where he says these peiros are also to me, then in effect he's made them like Hekdesh. On the other hand, Shani Oichol, Shani Toyim, on the other hand, if he says that anything that I would eat of them or anything that I would taste of them is koinam, is also, then he is allowed to eat the chilufim and the gedulim, because the fact is he's not actually tasting, even though it sounds like it's true. It sounds like when he says that I won't eat or that I won't taste, it sounds like he's in a way making the neder even stronger. But on the other hand, not really, because the fact is he's not tasting or eating these particular fruit. Therefore, the chilufim and the gedulim are going to be mutter. Now, we talked about this matter of chilufim and gedulim the other day. We had a few days ago a discussion where Rami Bar Chama brought up the question, when a person says that these peiros are koinam to ploini, then is ploini also in chilufehen and gedulehen? We actually brought our Mishnah as one of the proofs over there. And we discussed over there, one possibility we said there is that in fact the chilufim would be osur. The question would be about the gedulim, really. So we had a whole discussion about that previously on Daf Nun Beis. So over there, in fact, we did bring our Mishnah, and we said that the Gemara had said that there we had the question, rather, Rami Bar Chama asked, what was the main thing? The fact that he said Elu, or the fact that he said She'eni Toyin, that I won't taste them? Which one is the one that makes it that now, in that case we talked about, where is he allowed to eat what comes out of them, like the juice that's squeezed out of them or whatever? So we said that maybe, in fact, when our Mishnah says chilufein and gedulein, implying that what's squeezed out of them is mutter, maybe in fact not. It would be osur, but in fact the Mishnah wants to tell us the bigger chiddush about chilufim and about gedulim. We mentioned over there the Ran discussed over there, and again he discusses over here the point that for one thing, when when for one thing, you could argue that that when he's again when he says Elu, then he's making them hektish. Therefore, there's more reason to say that the chilufim and the gedolim are aser rather than when he said just shani toyim without using the word Elu, where then you could argue that it is weaker. Because even though he did say, because even though he in our Mishnah he doesn't say Elu, he only says shani oichav and shani toyim. Maybe that would be weaker, and maybe therefore chilufim and gedolim would be mutter. Here the Ran discusses that point again. And one thing he mentions is, again, there may also be a difference between whether the person himself who made the neder is going to, whether he trades them in and creates chilufim or gedulim of them, versus whether somebody else does it. So Reuven himself makes a neder. I won't have hana. I won't have hana from these fruits. Later on, if he goes and trades them, then you could argue maybe that the chilufim are also. On the other hand, if Shimon tells him, you, Reuven, are also in these fruits, which was the case that we had previously on Dafnan Bays, now we could discuss in Rami Bachama does over there whether maybe chilufim and gedulim are mutter as well. Or whether they're also as well, same as if he himself had made the neder, or whether maybe in that case they're mutter. Anyway, continues on Mishnah, the Dover Shazare Kola, this that was saying that you're allowed to have, that in certain cases you're allowed to have Hana from the Chilufim and the Gedulim, namely when he didn't say these fruit, he just said Shani Oichov, Shani Toyim, that would only be the Dover Shazare Kola, only with things that rot in the ground, and then only with things where the seed rots away in the ground, and then something grows. Because now you can say there's nothing left of the original Isser. So now you can say, therefore, so when he said these fruit, okay, he said they become like hektish, sort of. And you have dinim about if you plant hektish, what comes from it? So that's the thing. But even though he said, but the thing is, even though he said these fruit, it's true. But on the other hand, he made them like hektish, and therefore they sort of have the din. So they sort of have the din of hektish. Which in fact there is discussion among the Achronim on the point. The fact is, if you take if you take hektish and plant it, then in fact the Rambam paskins that actually the gedulin are considered chulin even if you weren't poy to them. Apparently, at least the Ran disagrees with the Rambam and says the fact is. Fine, you can redeem them, but until you do, then all of them are going to be also b'hana, and so it would be over here as well. So b'dover shazare kola. So only when the seed rots away, where then you don't have anything left of the original.
If he's poyed the music, he would eat the things that he say he won't eat, right?
In the case of Nedarim, there's no really being poyed there. In the case of Nedarim, yes, we matter neder. What we mentioned earlier about pidyon for koinamas, we talked about, for example, you have the specific case where a person says, let's say, this thing is also b'hana until this thing is also b'hana when it's chopped down or until it's chopped down, whatever. We had that whole case over there where we said that then he's able to be poyed there. Yeah. Anyway, now Avobadovasha Ein Zare Kola, but when you have something where the seed itself does not rot away in the ground, for example, onions. Now, onions, you can plant them from seeds, but you can also plant them by putting a bulb, an onion bulb in the ground, and the original bulb remains over there, and then it keeps on developing new layers around it. So then the original Zera is still there. So then, afilu gidule gidulin asurin, not only will the gidulin be asur, but even gidule gidulin. So you planted the onion and eventually it developed more layers. And eventually you pull that onion out of the ground. And then later on you replant it and more onions grow from it. So even though that's only the secondary growth from the original one, still the original onion still exists there. Therefore, it's going to be asur.
All the skins that come with it.
Yeah. And all the skins that come with it, right? So now we're going to talk about the Gemara. We're going to talk about on Omud Beis. We're going to start talking about the matter of, and it's going to go over the next couple of blocks. What happens? What do we consider? What is the status of the new growths versus the old growths? We're actually going to have a machloikas of the Ran and most of the other Mefoshim about what we say about what's the din of the new growth versus the old growth. Anyway.
the strong.
Are we going to say that the new growth itself is mutter, but can it be mevatel the original growth? Are we going to say that maybe it itself becomes also together with the old growth? We're gonna get into that as far as Shemitah, as far as other dinim. Yeah. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Another case. Suppose a man, say a husband, says to his wife, a koinam on your maisi adayich, what you produce with your hands is going to be also to me. Or koinam hein al pi, or again, he uses the lashon a koinam on my mouth, a koinam hein lafi, also the chilufein of gedulehem. Then also he's also in the chilufim and the gedulim. The point being, the chiddush is, in other words, the Ran says that in the previous part of the Mishnah, we were talking about, he says, these fruits or whatever. Here he's saying, in effect, the fruit that belongs to Pliny. Because in effect, that's what he's saying, the maisi yadayim that were made by Pliny, in this case, my wife. So the din would be, so the same thing, chilufim and gedulim would be applied, would be also. The Ran points out, by the way, maisi yadayah is something that it's dover she'en by mamash, it doesn't exist yet, and then how can you ask it? So either where he says your hands are osur, your hands are koinam yadayich ma'aseim, koinam on your hands regarding the ma'aseim, and the hands exist, so it would be similar to what we learned earlier in the Masechta, for example, a person says a koinam on my eyes that they won't sleep. So you can't say a koinam on sleep, because that's intangible, but you can say a koinam on my eyes that they won't sleep. Also another possibility is that the Ram says it could be she already did the Maisi Adeha and now it already exists and now he's putting a koinam on it.
The Maisi Adeha, she's sewing is one thing, but her hands means she can't have dough, she can't have...
No, so she herself is going to be mutter, right? Okay, so it means he'll have to get his food from other places, right? So actually he brings from Benu Yona that actually what's going to happen is, let's say, for example, he supplied wheat from his field, and then she took it and continued the processing and ground it up and made bread out of it, etc. So then we would actually divide it up. Only the part of the value that she contributed would be also to him. The value of the wheat that he contributed is not Maisi Adeha. That part would remain mutter to him. So in other words, the vote is, so we would figure out, so she made a loaf of bread, let's say, we would figure out the loaf of bread now would sell for $2. We figure out, let's say, that of that 50 cents comes from the wheat, is from the wheat that he provided, and the other $1.50 is from the work that she did. Fine, when she sells it, 50 cents of it will be mutter to him, and the other $1.50 will be osir. As we're saying, the chilufim are osir. So he's also b'chilufein of gedulahen. Again, shani oichol shani toyim. But if he says that I won't eat or that I won't taste, again, even though it sounds like he's making the neder stronger, in a way it's weaker because now chilufim and gedulim, he's not eating the actual thing that she made. Mutter b'chilufein of gedulahen. Then he's mutter to eat the exchanges or anything that grows from them. Again, b'dover shazare kola. Again, that would apply only where the original seed rots away in the ground. But something where it doesn't rot away in the ground, I feel the gedula gedulin asurin. Then again, even the gedula gedulin are going to be asur because you still have the original isur is there, so you can't even talk about chilufim and gedulim. You still have. So in other words, again, if she took an onion bulb, for example, and planted it, then he's going to be also to eat the new layers of the onion. And even if that onion was later taken out of the ground and then replanted, and then more layers grew, then still it's going to be also because somewhere underneath all those layers is still the original part of the onion that was also to him.
Even though it was his onion.
Even though it was, so again, no. So we'd have to be talking about pashtus based on what the Ran is saying from Rabbeinu Yonah. I guess we would have to say, on the face of it, we'd have to say that the onion is hers. That the original onion was hers. But I mean, I guess, again, depending how we're going to learn on Amud Beis about this whole matter of the Iker and the Gedulin, whether we're saying the Gedulin are in fact considered a separate thing, and the question is about them being Mevatel or not, or whether we consider that they all become one unit, that may affect the question of whose is the original onion over here. Continues the Mishnah. Another din, not related anymore to Gedulin, but a separate din. Sha'at oisa eni oichol ada Pesach. Suppose that the husband makes a neder, whatever you, my wife, produce, I will not eat until Pesach. Or sha'at oisa any maskasa out of Pesach, or whatever you make, I'm not going to wear until Pesach. Well, osa lifnei Pesach mutar lechol iskasas achar Pesach. So if she makes anything before Pesach, he is allowed to eat it, he is allowed to wear it after Pesach. The chiddush of it is, we shouldn't think the word ada Pesach maybe refers to when she made it. And then we would say, I mean, anything she made up until Pesach is going to be also hit to him forever. No, we don't say that. We understand his neder in the straightforward sense. In other words, because if he actually meant that, then he would have rearranged the words. He would have said, whatever you make until Pesach, I will not eat or I will not wear. The fact that he says anything that you make or anything that you eat, I won't wear or I won't eat until Pesach, he puts the until Pesach at the end, implies therefore that after Pesach, he's allowed to eat it or he's allowed to wear it. On the other hand, if he says, but if he does say it like that, whatever you make until Pesach, I won't eat, or whatever you make until Pesach, I won't wear, well then, yeah, if he makes it before Pesach, then he is also to eat it or to wear it after Pesach, because the fact is, then we understand his neder to be that anything that was made before Pesach is off limits to him, permanently, or for as long as the term of the neder applies. So another din. This one we discussed much earlier in the Masechta. Now we had earlier in the Masechta, in the second parak, we had a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman. Suppose that a person makes a neder that depends on a condition. When do we say, does he have to be careful not to do the condition? So we had a case over there. And after Yudalib Tesvav. A person makes a neder, a koinam, that my eyes won't sleep today if I sleep tomorrow. So in other words, we had a case over here. He's saying basically, I don't want to sleep both today and tomorrow. If I sleep today, then I'm going to be also to sleep tomorrow. So now, Rabbi Yehuda said he shouldn't sleep today, because what happens if in the end he ends up sleeping the next day as well, and now he's been over on his neder? So like this, he needs to make sure to stay awake today, and that way there's no possibility of him being over on his neder. On the other hand, Rabbi Nachman had said, let him go ahead and sleep today. We're not worried about that. Because the fact is, today he's not also to sleep. If he sleeps today, then yes, he's going to have to be careful not to sleep tomorrow. Obviously, if he sleeps tomorrow, he's going to be over on his neder. Rabbi Nachman is saying he does not have to be careful not to sleep today, just because that will trigger a neder that he will now be also to sleep tomorrow. Today, Rabbi Nachman says he doesn't have to be careful. If he falls asleep today, let him sleep. All he has to do is, having fallen asleep today, he'll know, okay, now my neder has been triggered. Now tomorrow I'm also to sleep. Yeah. And then we said the other way around. What if he makes the neder the other way around, that I won't sleep tomorrow, that I won't sleep tomorrow if I sleep today, then he is allowed to sleep today, because then he's going to be careful in the Isser itself. He may not be careful with the Tnai that leads to the Isser, but he will be careful with the Isser itself. So in that connection, we brought our Mishnah over here. Let's learn the Mishnah again, and then we'll talk about how we learned over there, how Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman would understand it respectively. The husband says to his wife, a neder that you will be osur to have hanah from me until Pesach, if you go to your father's house anytime between now and Sukkot. So he's standing, let's say, in Adar. He says, if any time between now and Sukkot you go to your father's house, then the result of that, that's going to trigger a neder that you are also to have hanah from me between now and Pesach. So, holcha lifnei Pesach, asura b'hanosei ad Pesach. So if she goes before Pesach, which is obviously also before Sukkot, then she is in fact also to have hanah from him until Pesach, because now she's violated the Tanai. So now the neder has been triggered. You have, by the way, the Ran mentioned over there in that sugya earlier that in the end, the halacha over there was like Rabbi Huda, that you have to be careful with the Tanai in the first place. But in any case, even both Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Nachman agree that if the Tanai was triggered, then if a person is over on the neder, then it's also. Who is Chayiv Malkus in that case? We said the Ran holds she's the one who's Chayiv Malkus, because in the end she's the one who went and triggered the neder, and she's the one who's having Hana from him. On the other hand, we said the Rambam holds that the husband would be Chayiv Malkus because he's the one who put the neder on her in the first place. We talked about it in a few places so far in the Masechta, various ramifications of that machlokas of the Ran and the Rambam. When you have like that, when Reuven puts Shimon under a neder and then the neder is broken, who is Chayiv Malkus? Reuven, who created the neder, or Shimon, who was actually Osir and who was the one who was actually over? Anyway. No, it's not a pressure.
But the bottom line is, though, you open your mouth and said something, it's your problem.
Well, that's true. But on the other hand, the fact is, once he assured her, she has a responsibility not to do this. So now, again, we're saying if she went to her father's house before Pesach, then definitely she's also to have enough from him till after Pesach.
Once she's married,
she has to have Kibbutz Av Ve'Em, but her husband's covered comes first. But in any case, it doesn't really matter. I mean, we've learned already earlier in the Masechta that Nedarim are able to be chal on a dvar mitzvah. Remember, we said a person makes a neder, for example, that matzah is also to me. He's not going to be able to eat matzah by the Seder. Yeah. Okay. Unlike we said a shvua, a person makes a shvua, I won't eat matzah. Tough. He still has to eat it by the Seder. He's mushba v'oimin Mahar Sinai. He's already besworn from Mahar Sinai to do this mitzvah. But when it comes to matzah, well, for example, when it comes to a neder, because a neder is different. Remember, a neder is on the object. The object is not mushba v'omen mahar Sinai. We also talked about previously a svara that, after all, conceivably there is a way to say the neder in such a way that he's also only in some matzah. He could say, for example, only matzah. He could say, for example, only matzah from Ukraine is also to me the marshal, and then he'd still be able to be yotze the mitzvah with other kinds of matzah. I think we said the Avnei Nezer, I think, said the svara. So therefore, even when in the end he actually says it that all matzah is also to me, still it didn't necessarily mean that there still could conceivably have been a way in which some matzah would have been mutter to him. The fact that it so happens that all of it is nevertheless the neder is still chal. Anyway, so la'achar pesach b'val yachol. Now, on the other hand, continues the Mishnah, if she goes to her father's house after Pesach, then retroactively she was over on Bal Yachol because she had Hana before Pesach. So now here's where we had. So in other words, again, remember the neder was if you go to your father's house anytime between now and Sukkot, then you will be also to have Hana from me until Pesach. So now, If she actually went before Pesach and has the Hanah before Pesach, no question about it. She was over on the Tanai and she was over on the Neder. So therefore, there's definitely Malkus involved. Again, according to the Ran, she will get Malkus, and according to the Rambam, the husband will get Malkus. But if she waited to go until after Pesach, so that means, in other words, when she had the Hanah, the Tanai was not in effect yet. That's the point. When she had the Hana before Pesach, the Tanai had not yet been, the neder had not yet been triggered yet because the Tanai hadn't taken place. Now, when the Tanai takes place after Pesach, retroactively there is Bal Yachal involved, meaning that the neder has been transgressed. So now you have Rabbi Nachman versus Rabbi Yehuda. What does this mean? According to Rabbi Nachman, it means exactly what it sounds like. It means that if she has Hana before Pesach, she's also to go after Pesach. And if she is, then she's over on Bal Yachol, because now by doing that, she's triggering and she's making that retroactively, she was over on an Issur.
So she goes after Pesach, she's...
So then it means that she shouldn't have had Hana from him before Pesach. And since she did... She had the neder was that if she goes anytime between now and Sukkot, then she will be also to have Hana from him till Pesach. Remember, we're standing in Adar. Let's say we're standing Purim time. So he's saying, if any time during the next 7 months between now and Sukkot, you go to your father's house, then that's going to trigger a neder that for the next month, from now until Pesach, you are also in Hana from me. Now, she had Hana from him during that month. Now, if she goes before Pesach and has the Hana before Pesach, no question she was over on the Issa because the neder was triggered before she ever had the Hana. But now the question is, what happens? She had the hana, only later on is she doing the thing that would trigger the neder. She's going to her father's house. It's still within the time of the condition, but the hana has already taken place. So according to Nachman's understanding in the Gemara earlier, what it means is, in other words, exactly that. She's also to go to her father's house after Pesach, because then it means retroactively she's causing that the neder was in effect, and therefore that the hana that she had from her husband was also. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what we're saying is that it's more than that. She, according to Rabbi Nachman, she was allowed to have hana before Pesach. All it is that now, having had that hana, now she has to be careful not to do the trigger. The same way as we said before, that if he says that if I sleep today, I won't sleep tomorrow, then according to Nachman, yeah, if he sleeps today, he's not allowed to sleep tomorrow. But he doesn't have to avoid sleeping today because that might trigger the neder. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we're saying midrabanan, she shouldn't have hana before Pesach. In other words, when we say achra Pesach b'bal yachol, it means because there's the possibility of bal yachol, therefore, even before Pesach, she should not have hana from her husband, because later on the neder might be triggered, and then it comes out retroactively that she was over on the neder by having hana. So in short, again, according to Rav Nachman, the vort is that all the Mishnah is telling us is that you should know that if she had that hana before Pesach, then, and now she goes after Pesach, then she is, then a neder has been transgressed. You shouldn't think that maybe once Pesach is over, once it's a done deal, the neder itself is no longer in effect because it was only until Pesach. Maybe it doesn't matter if at this point she's over on the Tanai, and we're saying that it does matter because now retroactively it's triggering it. According to Rav Yehuda, the Mishnah is telling us more than that, that before Pesach, she shouldn't be having that hana in order to avoid any possibility of problems of transgressing the neder. So in other words, it would come out. So if she doesn't have hana before Pesach, fine, then there's no problem with her going after Pesach to her father's house, because there's no Isser to be triggered. There was no hana that she had from him between Purim and Pesach that would retroactively be also. So according to Rav Nachman, that's what we're saying. According to Rav Nachman, let her go ahead, have all the hana she wants from her husband. She's just going to have to be careful not to go anytime between now and Sukkot. According to Rav Yehuda, the Mishnah is telling us she shouldn't have hana from her husband in the first place between Purim and Pesach, in order that there's no possibility that it ever becomes also. But if she did, then yes. If she did have hana before Pesach, then yes, she's going to be also to go until that part. See, that's the thing. That part, that if she had hana before Pesach, she's also to go until Sukkot. Everybody agrees to that, because obviously then it's causing that a neder is being transgressed. The question is, does she have to begin with avoid having hana until Pesach because she might go after Pesach? According to Rav Yehuda, yes. According to Rav Nachman, no. Yeah. Continues the Mishnah. The other way around. The other way around, if he says a neder that you won't have hana from me until Sukkot if you go anytime between now and Pesach, where now it's the other way around. Now the trigger, the Tanai is only for a short time, and the Isser that it triggers is going to be for a longer time. So now if she goes before Pesach, asur b'hana osa adachag, then indeed she is also to have hana until Sukkot, because that's the way it works. She is allowed to go after Pesach because after Pesach there's no Tanai to be triggered anymore. As long as she didn't go till Pesach, then the neder was never triggered. Therefore, now after Pesach, she can go. There's no neder to worry about that now is going to be chal as a result of her going. Even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree to that because we said that a person is going to be careful with the actual issur, just not with the Tanai. And by now, the Tanai is over. And in fact, really, the Ran said the Ran points out there's really no chiddush in this din. But we're mentioning what happens if she goes after the time of the Isser is over. So therefore, to keep things parallel here, we're talking about what happens if she goes after the time of the Tanai is over. But of course, it's fairly obvious once the Tanai is over, then of course, if she goes, then there's no problem. She's not triggering any neder, but because the Tanai is no longer in effect. Okay. So from here till the end of the parak, we're going to be discussing this matter of chilufim and gedulim. The second part of the Mishnah about the last part of the Mishnah that we were just discussing about the Ada Pesach and Ada Chag, we already discussed that in detail. We already covered that in that earlier sugya in the second parak. So therefore, the Gemara doesn't deal with it over here. So we said in the Mishnah, Ha'omer l'ishtei koinam masi yadayich alai. So we said a husband says to his wife, koinam, that your masi yadayim are also to me. Or konam hein alpi, or there are konam on my mouth, konam hein lifi, or there are konam for my mouth. So we said that the chilufim and the gedulim are osir, because by saying ma'isi yadayich is the equivalent of saying peiras ha'evu, is the equivalent of saying these peiras. So that's what we said on Amud Aleph, that the Ran explains, the chiddush of it is, not only when he says peiras elu, do these didn't apply, but also when he says peiras of somebody. And in this case, he's saying peiras of yours. So therefore, that also creates this din of chilufim and gedulim. As opposed to, again, if he had said, the Mishnah says, if he had said that I won't taste them, then chilufim and gedulim would be mutter, because then the fact is he's not tasting them.
Oh, because they have no taste.
But no, not because they have no taste, but because he traded them in for something else. If she, for example, bakes bread, and if he says a koinam that I won't taste your ma'isi yadayim, so if she bakes a loaf of bread, he's also to eat it. But if he trades in that loaf of bread for something else and he eats something else, he's not tasting the bread.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Yishmol ish kfar yama. Yishmol from kfar yama, which means the Mephoshim explained, it means literally it was a village that was located by the seashore. Va'amilo ish kfar dima, or others say he was from a village called Dima. Whatever. Hela biyodei. He brought up in his hand, meaning he brought to the Beis Medrash the following question. All the Mephoshim explain over here does not mean literally. So here we're going to talk about a shaila involving an onion. Doesn't mean that he brought an actual onion into the Beis Medrash. It means that he brought up a question that now the Chachamim are going to discuss. That's going to drive the sugya from that. That's going to drive the next part of the sugya. The question was Hela biyadei botzel sha'okre b'shvius. So we're going to relate this back once we discuss this question. We're going to try to relate it back to our Mishnah eventually. So, butzel sha'okre b'shvius. Suppose that you pulled out an onion from the ground on Shemitah. Now, when it comes to vegetables, when it comes to fruits, you go according to when they develop a certain stage of their growth. But when it comes to vegetables, when it comes to all fruits except asrogim, when it comes to vegetables as well as asrogim, we learned about this in Masechta Rosh Hashanah just about a year ago, that when it comes to vegetables, you go according to when they're picked. So therefore, if this onion was picked during Shemitah, it has the din of Shemitah fruit. And therefore, you have all the various dinim of Shemitah applied to it.
So the whole year of Shemitah.
Even, right.
And you pick up
after. And you pick it after Shemitah. Well, then, yeah. Then it's not Shemitah. It's not Shemitah fruit. So now, So now, sha'okre b'shvius. So he uprooted, he pulled out this onion from the ground during Shemitah. The note b'shvius. Then the following year, the eighth year, so now the first year of the new Shemitah cycle, he planted it. The rabu gidulov al ikrei. And now remember that an onion is dover shein zare kol, because you're planting the original onion and new layers grow around it. The rabu gidulov al ikrei. And now what you have is the gidulim, the amount that grew is greater than the amount that was there to begin with. So now the Ran explains. It doesn't mean, in other words, that we don't just mean that stomach grew bigger. What we mean is that's big. The new amount that grew would be enough to be mevatel the iser. So let's say, for example, it grew 60 times larger. So now the question is, so Yishmol ish kfar yama's question is, gidulim heter the ikre osur, given that the gidulim are mutter, because they don't have the din of Shemitah on the face of it, because they grew during a non-Shemitah year, the ikre osur, but the original part, the original bulb was osur because it was an onion of Shemitah, given the rabu gidulim, since now the gedulim are larger than the ikrei, 60 times as much, like the Ran said, so now do we say that those gedulim cancel out and are mevatel the iser or not? So now, the Ran, here you have where the Ran and everybody else disagrees on the meaning of the Gemara, and this machlokas is going to have ramifications throughout the sugya. The Ran learns, are we saying that it's like this? The question is, are the gedulim after all come from the ikur, and the ikur is still there? So do we say that the gedulim are considered a separate thing from the do we consider that the gedulim are a separate thing from the ikur, and therefore they're able to be mevatalit, or do we say that since they came out of the iser, then therefore we would say that they're also as well? So in other words, so the Ran is saying the essential question could have been phrased just, are the gedulim mutter or not? These layers that grew during the eighth year, are they themselves mutter to eat? And we would just say, as you peel back the onion, eventually you get to the original onion that was planted of Shemitah, and that part is going to have the din of Shemitah fruit. So would we say that or not? But he's saying that really one point depends on the other. If the gedulei heter are able to be mevatel the iser, then yes, of course they're going to be mutter. If not, then of course, then if they're not able to be mevatel it, then they themselves are going to be osur, because after all, if they were mutter, they would be able to be mevatel it. In other words, the Ran is taking the view that we consider the ikur and the gedulim to be separate things, and the question is whether it's actually mevatel the other. So now the Ran learns that way. On the other hand, the Rosh and Tosfos and everybody else understands it differently, that the question is really whether the gedulim themselves, and Ran explains, by the way, how he gets this, because later on in the sugya we're going to try to bring another proof from a din of Shemitah, and that proof that Ran says would seem to work only if you assume that the gedulim are considered something separate from the ikur. On the other hand, the Rosh and Tosfos and everybody else understands that we're considering that the ikur and the ikur and the gedulim are all considered one unit. So the question would be, in other words, it's a plain matter of are the gedulim mevatel the iser or not? So here to phrase it a little more clearly, according to the Ran, yeah, the suffix is about the gedulim, whether they're mutter. According to everybody else, no, sorry, I said it wrongly. According to everybody else, the gedulim, there's no question on mutter. The question is, do they have the power to be mevatel the ikur? So again, according to the Ran, if we say the gedulim are considered together with the ikur, then they're also together with the ikur. Of course, they can't be mevatel. Only if we consider that they're mutter, only then would they say that they can be mevatel. According to everybody else, the vote is for sure the gedulim are mutter. The question is, are they mevatel the iser along with them or not? Or do we say that in this onion, the outer layers are going to be mutter and the inner layers are going to remain also? So now also l'chamed Rav Ami, so Yishmael Ishkvar Yama came with the question to Rav Ami, loy have be a day, and Rav Ami didn't know the answer. Then he came to Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha, Poshet Lemin Hoda, and he answered it on the basis of the following statement. The Omer of Chanina Trisa'a Omer of Yanai, Batzel Shal Truma Shenotai, if you plant an onion of Truma, so same idea, you had an onion out of Truma, and you replanted it in the ground, the Rabu Gidul of Al Ikroi, and the Gidulim grew over the Ikr. So again, according to the Ran, you have so much gedulim that conceivably could be mevatel the ikur. And according to everybody, it would be that. The question would be, in other words, would we say that the gedulim is the question, or the gedulim themselves considered truma, or would we consider the gedulim are for sure chulin, but can they be mevatel the truma? Are they part of the ikur or not, essentially, right? So the Chaninitri saw says mutter, he says that the onion will be mutter. So therefore, yes, you see, so in other words, mutter, in other words, that even Zorim can eat it. It's not considered truma anymore. Now, obviously, it's still going to be tevel itself. It's still going to need truma taken from it. But the point is, in other words, that you'll still be allowed to eat a snack from it. As we know throughout Shas, that you have dinim until the produce is brought into Pnei Abayis, into the front of the house, And you have, or until you have the various things that are kaveil amaisa have taken place. For example, it's dipped in salt or sold or gathered together or whatever. Then you're allowed to eat a snack of it. So therefore, so now Zorim will be able to eat it. It's not considered truma anymore. So by the same logic, therefore, so that means, in other words, the gedulim are in fact being mevatel the iser. So in the case of so according to the Ran, then the vort is that that now they're mevatel it, and according to, in other words, they even though they're all considered one unit, they are mevatel it. According to everybody else, the vort is, of course, the outer layers were mutter all along. There was no question about that. But they have the power even to be mevatel the original onion of truma that's hidden inside them. However, or some say Rab Zirka, says to Rab Yitzchak Napcha, Shavik Mar Train V'Ovid Tchad, why, Rebbe, why are you abandoning two statements that we're going to have soon of Rab Yochanan and of Rab Yonason that contradict what you're saying, and instead you're accepting what Rab Chanina Trisa says, which is one against two? We're going to have now a statement of Rabbi Yochanan and a statement of Rabbi Yonason that no, the Gedulim are not Mevatel the Iker. Namely, Man Ninu Trein. So what are the two statements that oppose that? Number one, the Amar of Abahu Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yalda Shesibcha B'Skena, in the dinim of Orla. So a tree is also, you're also to eat the fruit from a tree throughout its first 3 years. So suppose you take a branch from a young tree that is still during the years of Orla, and then you graft it onto Sibcha, you graft it onto an older tree. Now, if there were no food in it, then fine, the branch would be bottle to the new tree or the new vine that it's attached to. But the case is Uva Peiris. The case is when you transplanted the branch, it already had Peiris on it, and those Peiris, of course, were Orla. So now, even now that they've grown 200 times as much, and for Orly, unlike most Yisurim, where you need only 60, Orly, you need to be mevatel in 200. Here you have the grapes or whatever it is have grown 200 times the size they were when you transplanted the branch. Nevertheless, Osir. We still say it's Osir, because these Peiris were before. So therefore, the Gedulim are not, even though the branch itself is Bottle, and even though you have Gedulim over here, the Gedulim are not Mevatel the Iker. So that's the thing. Normally 200 would be enough. But now we're saying, according to the Ran, the vort is, because the Gedulim came out of the Iker, and the Iker itself was also, because it was Arla, therefore they are also The Arla makes the rest of it also. According to everybody else, the vort is, fine, the rest of the grapes would be mutter, it's not Arla. But the original grape in there, if you could, I mean, you may not be able to identify it, practically speaking, but in principle, the original grape there, no, because it wouldn't really be, because grape, unlike with onions, we have layers, grapes or whatever don't grow in layers. So you don't really have a layer that you can pick out and say was the original grape. Anyway.
You want to say close to the ground?
No.
Because that's where it starts from.
No, because that's not how grapes grow, for example. Grapes grow, if anything, you'd say maybe the part closer to the stem or something, but maybe lobbed after that, I don't know. Anyway, the point is, so we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that Gedulei Heter are not Malo the Isser. And the Amr of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amr of Yonason, and another din that also shows the same thing. Shmuel ben Achmeni says in the name of Rabbi Yonason, Botzel Shenote Bekerem, if you planted an onion in a vineyard, which is Kelaya Kerem, the result is that the onion and the grapes around it are going to be also Bana. The Nekera Kerem, now if the vineyard was uprooted, and now the onion continued to grow, also, so nevertheless, the onion remains also. Same idea, because even though it grew 200, again, with Kalaya Kerem, also you can be Mavatal them in 200. But again, even though the onion grew 200 times as much, nevertheless, inside there, you still have the original onion, which is also, and therefore the rest of it is also as well. Again, according to the Ran, all of it is also, and according to everybody else, we'd say maybe the outer layers are also, and the inner layer, the outer layers would be mutter, the inner layer would be also. Anyway, either way, we see that Gedulei Heter are not Mala the Iser. So why are you, Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha, preferring what Rabbi Chanina Trisa said in the name of Rabbi Yanai, that in the case of Truma, it will be Mutter, Kizorim? So the Gemara says, Hoder Osel Kamedirab Ami. So now we Shmuel Ishkfau Yama, who had the original question, where so far originally we said he went to Rab Ami and Rab Ami couldn't answer it. Then he went to Rab Yitzchok Napcha and he gave him this answer. But now Rab Yumi is saying it's not right because it contradicts other ones. Now he went back to Rab Yanai, to Rab Ami, or Poshit Lemin Hoder. And he answered it. And he answered it from the following. If you have a litra, which is about a pound, of onions, that you were masakin, you took out truma and maaser from it, so now it's not tevel anymore, the zara, and then you planted it. Misaseres lafi kula. Now what you do is later on, when you pick the new onions, you maaser it according to the whole thing. In other words, what happens is the onions grow new layers in the ground. Those new layers then are considered tevel. And the result is that actually, because they grew out of the ikker, they themselves are also considered tevel. So therefore, what we say is, it's the other way around. The new layers actually drag the original along with them. Now the whole thing becomes tevel. So we don't say, in other words, like this, if we didn't say that, we would say, well, let's weigh the onions when we first planted them. We'd find, let's say, when we planted them, they weighed a pound. Now when we harvest them, they weigh total 10 pounds. And therefore, we're going to take maaser only from the new 9 pounds that grew. No, we're not going to say that. We're going to say you have to take maaser from the entire 10 pounds. The first one is Nesmatel, exactly.
But so we see, according to what we learned before, that Arlo is not Mevatel, this is different.
So one second. So actually, the Ran says that we have to say that there are Meroyim disagreeing what Rabbi Yochanan said, because we just had Rabbi Bohu quoting in the name of Rabbi Yochanan about the grapes that grew on the tree after that grew on the branch, that the grapes that continued growing on the branch after you grafted it. Where there we said that the Gedulin are not Mevatel the Iker. Here we're saying that the Gedulin are Mevatel the Iker to the extent that the whole thing becomes Tevel. Okay. So evidently then Rabbi Yitzchok is disagreeing with Rabbi Bo what Rabbi Yochanan held on this subject. So Alma Oisin Gedulin Mevatel Iker. So don't you see that Gedulin are Mevatel the Iker? And therefore, so applying that to your case, then Yishmol the Shkfar Yama, the answer would be that the gedulin that grew, again, the question was, you took an onion of Shemitah and replanted it in the ground in the eighth year. And now the question is, what happens as far as the new growth? So now the answer is, yeah, the new growth of the eighth year, the new layers of the onion that develop, do not have the din of Shemitah, because they grew and they grew and were picked after Shemitah. Therefore, they are mevatel, the original onion that was inside them. Therefore, it doesn't have the din of Shemitah anymore. However, the Gemara says, Duma l'chumer shayin. That's not a proof, because maybe you would say Me'ikir Adin, the Gedulin are not Mevatel, but because of, but L'chumra, in this case, in the case where you planted the onions and now all of them become Tevel, we would say L'chumra, then we're saying that all 10 pounds of them are now considered Tevel.
Just
L'chumra, right. Now the Ran points out, the fact is, we know, as we've learned previously in Or Masechta, you do have to be careful when you have Meiser, between what's Daraisa, what's Chayav Daraisa versus what's Chayav Derabanan, so you don't come to Meiser from something that's really Potter or something that's really Chayav on something that's Chayav or vice versa. So he says that no, if we say that the Gedulin are not canceling out the Iker, then, as the Ran says, according to his shita, what happens is the Gedulin themselves are considered like the Iker. So therefore, now Midaraisa, all of it would be potter from Meiser. Midarabanan, all of it is chayiv from Meiser. So therefore, no problem. You take out Meiser from it, you don't have that you're taking from one part that's chayiv on the other, because whether you look at it, no matter how you look at the chiyuv on this onion, either way, the chiyuv on all of it is the same thing. It's not that one pound of it, it's not that the original pound of it has one level of chiyuv and the other 9 pounds have a different level. No, all of them are technically mutter, and then all of them are technically mutter daraisa, and the rabbanon and all 10 of them need maaser. That's according to the Ran, again, where the question is, where we're saying that the question is on the gedulim themselves, whether they're also or not. According to everybody else, the vote would be onions are different. We learned a few days ago that maaser of vegetables is only drabon. So therefore, there's nothing to talk about as far as what's chayiv and what's potter and what's potter, because all of it is only chayiv drabon in the first place.
Obviously, supply of carbon are different in this case, because They're mechuyif, the right saying these are.
That's the point. In other words, so if it was fruit we were talking about, according to the shita of the Rambam, that all tree fruits are chayiv daraisa. If we had a case like that involving tree fruits, then yes, you'd have to discuss what part, what's the original part, what's the added part. But again, according to the Ran, the vort is, it doesn't matter whether it's onions or other vegetables. Either way, midrabbanon, we're considering the whole thing to be one unit because the gedolin grew out of the iker. And therefore, whatever applies to one applies automatically to the other. Therefore, either all of it is potter the ikradin, or all of it is chayev because of the gzeira derabanan. So therefore, so you have no problem of what you're going to take meiser, and then you're going to have concern that one part of it is less chayev and meiser than the other. According to everybody else, the vote is maybe it is, but since it's all only also since only chayev and meiser, the whole onion is only chayev and meiser derabanan anyhow, then it doesn't really matter. Anyway, the point is, so maybe you could say when it comes to the chumrah, then we say that we consider the whole onion to be chayiv and meiser as a chumrah, not me'ikar adin. How does that show that in the case that Yishmol, Ishkfar Yama asked about, where it's the other way around, we want to take the original onion, which was Shemitah, and we mevatel it in the new growth of the eighth year, how can we necessarily say that that would be valid? Ela min hodr. So rather, we can answer Yishmol Ishkfar Yama's question from another braisa, the Tanya of Shimon Omer. Kol Dovash Yeshle Matirin, anything which is a Dovash Yeshle Matirin, which we learned about the other day, we have the whole long ran on Dafnun Beis. So classic Dovash Yeshle Matirin, for example, is at the beginning of Beitza, an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, where after Yom Tov it's going to be Mutter. And here we have examples. Again, Tevel Amaisa Sheni Behektish V'Chodosh. For example, Tevel is Dover Shesh L'Matirin, because all you have to do is take out Truma and Maisa from it. And even the Ran points out, even if Tevel was mixed up in Chulin, fine, you may not be able to take Maisa out of the mixture itself, because then you're going to have a problem. Part of it is Chaya, part of it is Potter. Fine, what you do is take out Maisa from another batch of produce and have in mind that it will cover the Tevel that's mixed in here. So you have, let's say, for example, 100 pounds of Tevel got mixed in with however much Chulin. What you do is you take a different batch of the same kind of Paris, and you say, for example, I'm designating two pounds of those Paris as Truma on behalf of the 100 pounds that are in this mixture, and I'm designating 9 out of that other batch on behalf of the 100 that are in this mixture, and that'll be my serishin, and so on and so forth. So tevel umaisa sheni, same thing. Maisa sheni is a dover shiesh lamaturin, because you can be poide the hektish, you can be poide also the chodosh. It'll be mutter after the oimer or after the 16th or 17th of Nisan. Loy nosner ben chachamim shir. So the chachamim did not give a shir in them, meaning that they aser even they aser even b'chol shehe. So no matter how, even if a small amount of them was mixed up in a much larger amount of heter, they're not bottled. We discussed before when we had on Dafnun Beis the whole sugya about Dovash Yesh L'Matirin and the Ran's whole explanation on it. We said there are two basic reasons. We said Rashi and Beitza explains the reason is because Ad Shetechlanu Be'isr, Techlanu Be'heter, instead of eating it Be'isr, you might as well wait till it becomes mutter, and then you'll eat it, and then you're not getting into any questions of eating something which is also. And the Ran had a whole explanation where he said that the vort is that because Dover Shiesh L'Matirin has already a degree of heter in it, and the other is also, of course, mutter, therefore it's considered kind of like min b'minoy, and therefore it's not bottle. We had the whole thing over there that he said that Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'minoy is not bottle when they're the same physical substance, and the Chacham say it doesn't matter that they're the same physical substance, it matters that they have the same halachic status. And since one is mutter and the other one is very close to being mutter, then one can't cancel out the other. However, he said before, as we're going to say, so we said before over there, that depends whether they're mixed min b'mino or min b'enesheni mino. It is true that if Dover Shiesh L'Matirin gets mixed up in other things that are not b'mino, then it would be b'nois in tam. Then we'd go according to whether it imparts a flavor to the mixture, same as any other isser. Then we would go according to 60, for example. Anyway. Continues the braisa, b'chol davar she'ein lo matirin. Now, anything which does not have a way of making it mutter, kugan truma, for example, truma, once you designate it as truma, it's also to kohenim, there's no way to make it mutter to zorim again. Really, I mean, you could actually be matur neder on your truma. However, the Ran explains there's no mitzvah to do that. Therefore, that's not called davar she'ein lo matirin. Further on in the sugya, we're going to learn tomorrow on Daf Nun Tes, that's the sham, that that when it comes to Nedarim, even though in a certain sense Nedarim are considered Dover Shesh Lamaturin, as the Ran discussed over there, the difference is that only if there's a mitzvah to be Matur Neder, which there is, only then do we consider it Dover Shesh Lamaturin. So now there's no mitzvah to be Matur Neder. When you designated a certain batch of produce as Truma, there's no mitzvah to be Matur Neder on that. Therefore, we don't call it Dover Shesh Lamaturin.
Why? No,
you don't use it, you go to the Kohen. Truma, you give to the Kohen.
Right.
So there's no mitzvah. In other words, what happens? The farmer has 100 saw of wheat. He designates 2 saw of it as truma for the Kohen. Now, conceivably, he could go and be Matur Neder and say, you know what? I didn't want to give these 2 saw. I want to give instead a different 2 saw. So he would be able to do that. It would all become tevel again, and he'd start all over from square one. However, there's no mitzvah to do that. On the other hand, when a person makes a neder, as we learned before in the Masechta, and we're going to learn tomorrow, there is a mitzvah to do our Taras Nedarim on it. Because ideally, a person shouldn't have made the neder in the first place. The same way.
We
don't punish him unless he was over on the neder. But the point is, there was a mitzvah to be Matur Neder. And the same thing. So, for example, either you have where the issue goes away by itself. For example, an egg laid on Yom Tov, the issue is automatically going to go away as soon as Yom Tov is over. Or there is a mitzvah to do it. For example, with Hekdesh and Ma'aseh Sheni, there is a mitzvah. If you can't bring them to your Yerushalayim, then you redeem them. There is a mitzvah involved. So those are called Dover Shesh Lamaturin. But Truma, for example, is not, because again, there's no mitzvah to be mevatel it. Or Trumas Meiser, same thing, Trumas Meiser, which the Levi gives to the Kohen. V'chala that you take out from dough, v'orla, v'kalaya kerem, and orla and kalaya kerem, there's no way to be matur them at all. Once they're osur, they remain osur. So that was nostamem, chachamim shir, all of those, the chachamim gave a shir, how much of them you need, how much you can be mevatel them in. So most things, 60, truma and trumas meiser, and chala is 100, orla and kalaya kerem is 200. Anyway, continues the braisa, omruloi. So now, when Reb Shimon said that rule, the Chacham said, "V'alu shvius ema maturin." What about shvius is not a davar shiyesh lamaturin? Because when you have fruit of shmita, it remains; it has the dinim of shmita after shmita is over as well. V'lo nasnim b'chacham shir, and we still see that the Chachamim did not put a shir on it. Ditnan, as in fact we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Shvius, hashvius aseres kolshu b'mina, that shvius aser is kolshu when it's mixed b'mina. So how can you tell me that it's a difference of davar shiyesh lamaturin or not? If Shmita is not Dover Shesh Lamaturin, and yet it's not Bottle. Amalahan, so Shimon answers them, Afani Layamati El Labir. You know what? When I'm talking about that Shvius is Afani Layamati, or the Ran's Gir says actually Afhein Loy Omru, the Chachamim, when they said that Shvius is not Bottle, they're talking about only as far as beer. One of the dinim of Shmita is when there comes a point when this particular type of produce is not available on the field anymore, then you have to do beer on it. According to the Rambam, it literally means you have to eat it or destroy it. According to all the other Rishonim, it just means you have to take it out of your house and declare it Hefker. And then afterwards, you can take it back from Hefker if you want. But anyway, you have to do that. So when it comes to beer, then we're saying, so yes, if Shmita fruit is mixed with Minna, then you have to deal with it before beer because you're able to eat it. So therefore, it's considered like Dover Shiesh Lamaturin. But when it comes to eating it after the time of beer, that it should aser what it's mixed in, then we wouldn't. Then benois and tam. Then we would say that you go according to no. Then you go according to nois and tam. In other words, it can be bottled, whether it's beminon, whether shein or minon. You would still go according to the usual rules and say that it could be bottled. So what do we see from all of that? That with Shvius we're saying that the gedulim are not mala as the ikker. So we're saying that because otherwise the fact is that the Ran says this is where we see that his that's where this is what he says this is where we see a proof for his svara from the fact that the Gemara brought this braisa that we're talking about the not just the gedulim whether they're able to be mevatel the original but or the gedulim themselves osir. So if they were going to be considered something separate than the ikker, then nothing's going to be also anyway. It's all going to be bottle. So because Reb Shimon is telling us that there's a possibility of bittul when it comes to shmita. So obviously, therefore, so it must be the gedulin are not like the ikker, and you can talk about being mevatel. So the point is, you see that he's saying that at least as far as beer, in fact, we say it's not bottled. So you see, in other words, that they were saying that it's not bottled. Only when it gets mixed in with other produce are we talking about benoist town. And the answer, the Gemara says, "V'dilma honami l'chumra shiny." Still, maybe there also it's different l'chumra. Maybe we would say in principle, we would say that the gedulin are like the ikker, and therefore we're saying that they're considered like the ikker. So we're saying that the gedulin are like the ikker, and therefore they can't be milet. But maybe that's only because we're going l'chumra, but not necessarily. So here the Ran says, actually, before, when we use the word l'chumra, we meant me'ikr ad-din, it would be different, but we're machmir, to be on the safe side. Here we're saying that if we say l'chumra, it means we actually have two chumras. Number one, that we're considering it like davar she'yesh l'matirin, and number two, that the gedulim are not osir, and we still say hol nami l'chumra, that maybe in fact we would say, yes, Reb Shimon is telling us that you apply both chumras in that case, but still that doesn't necessarily answer Reb Yishmael's original question, which involved we want to be matu them. We want to say that the onion that was replanted after Shemitah, that the gedulim should be mailer, not necessarily. So we still don't have a solid proof one way or the other to answer his question. So we'll continue this discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and then work it out further. And eventually, again, we still haven't even related all of this to our Mishnah. We're gonna continue that later on in the Sugya. We're gonna get back to when we said about Chibufim and Gedulim in our Mishnah. Then on Dafnun Tes is where we're gonna get back to our Mishnah and relate it into this. Yeah. Shukrayach, everyone.